This is The Guardian.
Today, Keir Starmer sets out his plans. How radical will the King's speech be?
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
The King's Speech is a piece of political theatre that's been played out since the 17th century. Later this morning, King Charles will play that familiar role. He'll ride in a horse-drawn golden carriage from Buckingham Palace to the Houses of Parliament. He'll proceed to the throne that's set in the House of Lords and don his crown. An MP is then taken as a hostage in the palace to ensure the safe return of the king.
Close the door!
It's a tradition that harks back to more volatile times, when, under King Charles I, the relationship between the monarch and Parliament broke down entirely.
Blackrod!
Blackrod, a senior officer in the House of Lords, will summon MPs.
Mr. Speaker, the King commands this Honourable House to attend His Majesty immediately in the House of Peers.
And then begins the state opening of Parliament and the King's speech, when Charles will read out a list of more than 35 bills that the new government has written, its plans for power. And we'll find out just how much change Keir Starmer wants to bring to our country. From The Guardian, I'm Hannah Moore. Today in Focus, the King's speech. Jessica Elgott, you're The Guardian's deputy political editor, and you're in Westminster right now, so we might hear some hubbub in the background. It does sound quite noisy there. Labour were quite cautious in what they were putting out in the weeks leading up to the election. They won, of course, with a huge majority, and so now is their time to set out their stall and let us all know what their priorities are going to be over this term in office. The King's speech is the time when they will be laying out these bills. What can we expect to hear?
So I think that one of the things that is really kind of key to remember about the way that Keir Starmer operates is he just doesn't believe in politics as theatre. He finds it, I think, personally quite irritating, this idea that government or even opposition should be about kind of pulling things out of a hat or surprise moments at a manifesto launch. I think there are some really key things all about, firstly, growth and kind of getting rid of things that have been barriers to growth, whether that's green energy, reforms to planning, devolution to local government, giving them more power over things like transport systems, nationalising the railways. All of these things are supposedly, you know, part of a bigger growth strategy. And there will be other things in it which are also about kind of underlining the way that Labour hopes to govern. So that will include things like the Democracy Bill, which will enact some of the House of Lords reforms that we saw them announce, not all of them. And also this idea of fiscal responsibility, which will kind of mandate governments to respect the Office of Budget Responsibility when they are preparing fiscal statements. It's a kind of anti-Liz Truss bill. All of these things are about kind of shaping over the next year.
And I mean, a few of those things that you've mentioned, for example, nationalising rail, reforms to the planning system, they talked a lot about those before the election. But since they've come into power, one thing that they've really been focusing on is criminal justice. Are there any reforms promised in the King's speech on that?
There are definitely plans to make certain things new crimes, so making assaulting shop workers a specific crime. And there was also be legislation to make it a specific criminal offence to do drink spiking, which is currently still, you know, able to be prosecuted, of course, but it comes under more general offences. And those are the kind of things some people will say that they're potentially unnecessary, specific criminal offences. But what they do act as is a kind of direction to officials to treat them seriously. So it's essentially a direction to police in all but name to take those kinds of crimes more seriously. There's a new child exploitation offence we're expecting to be created. So that's specifically targeted at these county lines, drug smuggling routes.
Right.
And probably also some new powers on antisocial behaviour. That's been a really big theme that Keir Starmer was talking about all the way through the election.
Jess, this is a government that has kind of framed itself as being in a rush. They've said they want to move fast and fix things. How soon might we see these big changes that they're promising come into effect?
I think the priority here has been for them to do things quickly that can start having an immediate effect, and some of those things that don't require legislation. That's always the fastest way to start having an effect. So you saw that in the immediate update to the National Planning Framework, which is was all about, you know, lifting the ban on onshore wind, putting back mandatory targets for house building to councils, which, you know, Michael Gove abolished those, and that saw house building drop off a cliff in some areas. So those sorts of things are things where you must start to see a material difference. Labour politicians can stand in front of diggers in the ground and make it look like things are happening. I think one of the things that will come from this, which will be one of the quicker bills passed, will be on rail nationalisation, which will start to see contracts. And that has to be one of the first passed because of the timing of the contracts. So Louise Haig, the Transport Secretary, has said that she will bring them in-house as those contracts expire. They actually start expiring reasonably soon.
Could the whole network be nationalised within Labour's first term in office?
That's the aim, yeah.
Wow, so that would be a really significant change. And on planning laws, one of their big ideas was to build new towns. How quickly might that come to fruition if it does?
I mean, I think a lot of those things depend on, you know, the levels of public objections to it. A lot of those new towns need in the investment of, you know, a lot of additional resources, whether that's new roads building, whether that's new health service infrastructure, new education infrastructure. So those things are, they're important, but they're probably more of a long-term priority.
Are Labour likely to say anything about immigration in the King's speech? Is there anything that's really sort of struck you on that?
So there are two facets to this. The first is the desire to deal with illegal migration, seeing as Labour's comprehensively ditched the Rwanda plan to much cheering. But they will have to decide what they do with people who are already here, who currently can't claim asylum under the Illegal Migration Act. They say that some of this will be addressed with new anti-terror laws, which will be used against smuggling gangs. So that's one of the ways they said they deal with the boats crossing the channel, people risking their lives there. But the other interesting omission, I think, that we hear is not going to be in the King's speech. There were plans to try and reduce legal migration. One of the things that Labour had said it would do is it would put the onus on rogue employers, essentially. So anyone found breaking employment law, i.e. not paying minimum wages, would be banned from hiring any foreign workers, essentially to stop people being exploited, them being undercut by people coming from abroad and undercutting British workers. But what actually seems to have happened is that the sort of more draconian measures that were introduced by the Conservative government, which was certain bans on people bringing their spouses over on visas, making it you're having to earn an enormous amount of money before you can even bring a spouse here, and a crackdown on international students. They seem to be having quite a big material effect in reducing the number of visas. And Labour, you know, doesn't look like it's going to be repealing those anytime soon, and perhaps has decided that it's going to be enough to leave it at that.
Okay, so they won't be putting those sort of punishments on employers that they were expected to?
So far, it doesn't look like that's going to be in this King's speech. It may yet happen in the course of the Parliament, but so far, that doesn't look like it's going to be a priority for legislation, at least this time.
Okay. That's going to be disappointing to some people, isn't it? That more of the onus is going on individuals than it is on employers.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, it certainly has a kind of devastating consequence for individuals, especially the earnings threshold, which is seen as being particularly cruel to people. It means that lots of working people on, you know, even above average salaries can't afford to have a spouse join them here. And it also will have a huge effect on, more broadly speaking, on things like care visas. We still depend on a lot of people coming here to work. And if people can't, you know, bring their families with them, then inevitably we're essentially saying, well, if you're a care worker here, you have to be a single person. You can't have a family. You can't have a spouse. For a lot of people, that's going to be a deal breaker.
So a lot of the things that they're hoping to bring about are radically different to what the Conservatives would have done had they remained in power. But there is one thing in this King's speech that is a legacy of the Sunak era, and that is the smoking bill. Just tell me about that and why they've decided to continue with it.
There's actually quite a few legacy bills that we'd expect them to introduce, but the smoking ban, I think, is the most eye-catching. It's this idea that the UK will progressively ban smoking, making the age limit that you have to be in order to buy cigarettes progressively higher every year. So there'll be a generation who are not allowed to buy cigarettes at all. That was something that Rishi Sunak wanted to introduce but let fall because of the election date, and many of the then Conservative MPs were dead against it. And so that was a fight he obviously decided he didn't want to pick, but that Labour are now going to take up. We'll also see Labour improve on the government's Online Safety Act. That's a big thing as well that I think that they want to do. It's also promised to enact Martin's Law, which is named after the victim of the Manchester Arena attack.
Martin Hett.
Martin Hett, yeah, which Rishi Sunak again promised Martin Hett's mother that he would introduce, and on the same day called the election, which was a pretty grim thing to do, but it would essentially force large venues to put in place procedures to deal with terror threats, and Labour has promised that it will push that through. There's already a draft bill on that.
They've briefed, you know, a lot of the things that they're going to be announcing in this King's speech. Should we expect that there'll be any surprises thrown in there, things that they didn't want to brief the press about in advance?
I think it's not impossible, but I think that we have had no indications that that's going to be the case. Certainly things that maybe looked at early in the campaign that we might have thought they would do, such as lifting the two-child benefit cap, they've been absolutely adamant for the weeks they've been in government that that's not something that they're going to do. I think if there was going to be any surprise, I would think the key quality of it would be that it's something that's free. So something that's symbolic and feels, you know, momentous but doesn't actually require spending any money. And those things do exist, but it's hard to see what that might be.
And why aren't they planning to lift the two-child benefit cap? Is it the cost?
It's a very difficult thing, I think, for a lot of cabinet ministers to stomach. Many of them, including people like Angela Rayner, have, you know, railed against it since it was introduced and have called it cruel and inhumane. And, you know, there's been statistics out this week already showing how many children are affected by it, 1.6 million. And it is one of the things that, you know, even the former Prime Minister Gordon Brown has said would be just a key alleviator of child poverty. And, you know, ultimately there's people in the party asking questions about what does Labour exist for if it's not to try and alleviate child poverty. They say there will be a wider strategy on it. Keir Starmer's kind of indicated in interviews that he sees it as something potentially to aim for by the end of the parliament, but there are absolutely no commitments in that regard at the moment.
One thing that got a lot of newspaper headlines in the run-up to the election was this promise about adding VAT to private school fees. Now, would that come under what's going to be outlined in the King's speech?
So I'd expect that to form part of a budget. That doesn't necessarily mean that it would get any mention in the King's speech, but I would expect that to be put to Parliament as part of a wider budget that we think will happen towards the end of September or October. Rachel Reeves has ruled out the idea of doing any kind of emergency budget. We might see Rachel Reeves give an emergency statement to the House where she talks about the state of the nation's finances. You know, it's the kind of moment where she'll say we've looked under the bonnet and things are much worse than we feared. And, you know, just the kind of thing that governments who come in and want to really hammer it to the party that they've just defeated and kind of set that narrative in train. And we're expecting to see that within a week or so.
Coming up, the King's speech this morning will be packed with new laws that this government hopes to pass. How much will they really change?
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Shantae, here from the Guardian's Pop Culture Podcast. I just wanted to let you know that on this week's episode, I'm going to be interviewing Ratman, the creator of Supercell, which is currently Netflix's number one show in the world. So if you're a fan of this show and you want to hear how the superhero genre has been shaken up, then go and listen to us wherever you get your podcast and have a glorious day.
Labour's consistent message through this campaign has been change. We're the party that will deliver change. How radical a collection of bills is this?
There are some quite radical things in their manifesto and in the bills that we expect to be introduced in the King's Speech. Particularly, I would say, the workers' rights bill that sort of Angela Rayner has taken ownership for, which will do things like broadly ban zero-hours contracts, broadly ban fire and rehire. It gives people immediate rights at work for when they start the job, including things like maternity pay, sick pay. These things will make a real material difference to people's lives and are the biggest extension of rights in a generation. And I think we shouldn't underestimate that. We can talk a lot about how a lot of it's very cautious and lots of it is very cautious, but that is something that I think can be seen as genuinely radical. Of course, there's always going to be calls for places where it can go further. Great British Energy and, the kind of expansion of green energy. We've already seen Ed Miliband take some steps that don't require legislation that will again have a material effect, lifting the onshore wind ban, giving permission for these huge solar farms to be built, which is much to the chagrin of some Conservative MPs who've opposed them. So there are things, I think, that can be seen as genuinely making an impactful change.
Jess, these bills are all still just proposed legislation at this point, and just announcing them doesn't mean that they'll definitely become law. But Labour has this huge majority. Are there any real stumbling blocks that you can foresee that would stop these bills in their tracks?
There's very little that I can see where, Labour runs a real risk of not getting its legislation through. I think it can do, an awful lot of what it wants on some of these things, especially as you've not only got a much depleted Tory party of 121 MPs, but you've got the Lib Dems who it's not necessarily certain that they'll support the government on lots of these issues. I think what you're more likely to see is flashpoints where opposition parties can kind of garner support on particular issues. I think those issues are likely to be things like welfare, which MPs feel quite strongly about, Gaza as well. If there's moments for that to be a flashpoint, we know that there's been several independent MPs who've been elected on that platform, and it's also something that quite a few Labour MPs feel very strongly about as well. There's no immediate moment for that to happen, but it's something that I think, is a moment of potential risk for the government. And you will also see, the Tories use, the way that Labour did, use opposition day debates, use amendments to bills in order to try and cause embarrassment for the government in any way that they can and put the spotlight on things that that's doing that they think will be electorally beneficial to them. So it's hard to predict those things at the moment, but they certainly will happen.
And finally, just looking at all these bills together, looking at the way that Labour are setting out their term in office, what's the central message, do you think, that they're trying to project And how effective, how coherent is that message?
I think the sort of message that Labour wants to send from all of these bills taken together is that there is deliverable change, to coin a Barack Obama phrase, change you can believe in. So it's ones that they can look back at the end of the 5 years and say, look, we delivered on all of the things that we said we would. It's part of kind of trying to regain that rock bottom trust in politics. The thing that I think is always difficult to capture is, are there any of these things actually going to make people feel materially better about their lives? There's lots of changes proposed here that could make a significant difference to individuals or to the economy, but I think there will still be people asking whether the party, could have done things, more radically at this time of maximum power. You know, the first King's speech with a majority of 170, that is the moment where, you do your boldest thing. And I think Tony Blair always used to say he wished he'd done more in the early days when he had that kind of power. And I do wonder if Keir Starmer might look back and feel the same.
Yeah. Jess, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Jessica Elgott, The Guardian's deputy political editor. You can keep up with her at theguardian.com. And if you want more from Westminster, it's worth subscribing to our sister podcast, Politics Weekly UK. In today's episode, Pippa Creerer and Kieran Stacey from the Westminster team will be with John Harris, The Guardian columnist, looking over the King's speech. So we'll find out from them if anything surprising comes through in it. That's it from us. This episode was produced by Lucy Hoff and presented by me, Hannah Moore. The sound designer was Hannah Varrell and the executive producer was Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is back. Now through September 3rd, score up to 70% off everything home. Plus, end summer with can't-miss surprise flash deals. Because at Wayfair, new season means new savings. Like up to 70% off rugs, up to 50% off bedroom furniture, up to 60% off kitchen essentials, and up to 50% off dining furniture. All with fast shipping right to your doorstep. Shop Wayfair's Labor Day clearance now through September 3rd for up to 70% off.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
In Norway, a woman's boyfriend forgets who she is overnight. In Detroit, a man is arrested, but he was never at the crime scene. In Spain, disturbing pictures of young girls have appeared, and no one knows who's behind them. Something strange is happening. A collision between people and artificial intelligence.
Discover more in The Guardian's series, Black Box. Listen to the whole series right now, wherever you get your podcasts.